eyes closed, every hand's raised. Welcome him now.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit,
yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord.
Bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to gather in your presence. But Lord, we shouldn't be surprised. You said you inhabit the praise of your people, Lord. And as we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, we feel your presence filling this place. Father, I pray that you would do the miraculous this morning. Lord, if there's any sickness in this building, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'd heal each one. If there's anybody that's sad, discouraged, Lord, fighting with the enemy, Lord, may we know that the mighty conqueror has come in this day and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, thank you for being here, Lord. Just move in our lives, we pray. Make us closer to you than we've ever been before. Mold us, make us, shape us, Lord, like we ought to be. We report for duty this morning, Lord. Have your will and your way. We love you, we appreciate you, Lord, and we invite you to move now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. Dad was saying it's really good to see Brother Tom back there. Can't hardly say Brother Tom, though, because we got too many Brother Toms around this place. Brother Tom, we got Brother Tom when his dad's here. Just going to have to go with last names, and then I can't do it with him. I just have to call him Junior or something. That's all right. It's good to see you, brother. You know, the prophet said, I'd rather give a, I think he was talking about Orman Neville, I'd rather give him a rose now than a wreath when he's passed. So I'm just going to say a comment here real quick. Brother Tom's the first church I actually attended. I mean, we went to a church in town, but I was too young. That just made me go. But that was the first church I chose to go to. And if you think that this is small, well, let's go back to that. But here's the thing is I remember the first time I went there, I came out, and I remember this. I'm sure my dad does just as fine as I do. I said, Dad, I feel like I actually went to church today. Amen. Felt like there was a purpose in being in this place. And then it began as I began to attend and things and learn and began to see that what we have is God. Amen. This is it. There's nothing else to find. There's no other message out there that can produce the life that what this has given. And even though I'm ashamed to say it, I didn't receive it right away. I mean, I tried. I went to church. As all these guys are witness, I sat right there every service. But it's still, I needed something on the inside to happen. But when Brother Tom felt led to step down there and we had to go somewhere, and I began to go to other churches, what I learned back there stabilized me for what I saw after that.
Amen.
Remember looking at sisters and going, well, they go to a Methodist church, but I don't understand that. That's not what I remember being taught. That ain't the way you're supposed to be dressing. Watching people worship like this. You go, that's not what I remember being taught. I thought we were supposed to give God praise. I thought we were supposed to appreciate what he's done.
Amen.
And those things led me into one day realizing I needed that change on the inside. And I'm glad to say today that I haven't.
Amen.
I don't guess about it. God met me.
Amen.
One-on-one. And that's what we want to speak on this morning. The individual. We preached last week about the living God's dwelling place. But I'd like to continue that today on the individual. Ephesians chapter 4. So God bless you, Brother Tom. We sure appreciate you. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Ephesians 4. Starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, every single one of us,
Amen.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And as we've studied, the perfect man is Christ, that each person would be able to reflect Jesus Christ the same today as when he walked on earth. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And what is the joints? Every single believer. Every person has a part in the body of Christ, and they need to do their part to support the rest of us.
Amen.
According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar scripture here, verse 12. And I actually mean 12 this time, not 9. Did Wednesday. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. I'd like to preach this morning, as I said, the living God's dwelling place in the individual. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, as we've read your word, it's just words on a page. Lord, it could be just as well as a newspaper. But Lord, we pray that the Spirit would come and take those words off the page and feed the Word that's within us, Lord, that it might live and change us, Lord. Bring us from this glory to the glory after this, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated.
Yes, Lord.
Last week we preached about the living God's dwelling place, and we asked the question on why do we come to church? And I hope that you came this Sunday, remember what we talked about last Sunday. Now, we don't come here because there's four walls that we think are holy. We come here because the holy God said he would be here. Amen. Nothing about the church that's holy. There's nothing about you and I that's holy. It's the holy God that dwells within us. And as we come together, because the Word of God told us to, and I wish we could just say that. Why am I doing this? Well, the Word told me to do it. That's why I'm doing it. It said, come together the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I'll just do that then. Then you know you're doing the will of God. Just like foot washing. I always love foot washing because that's one thing he told me. Happy are ye if you do this. So I know if I do this, this is what God told me to do. I have to be doing his will. Amen. There's a lot of times I do things and I wonder, is this God's will or not? I don't know. But there's a few things I can say, yes, sir, I know it's the will of God. And coming to church is one of those.
Right.
We've talked about before, and I'm just laying a foundation. I want to bring it down to the individual. But you've seen many times people, you know, they'll struggle all morning on Sundays and Wednesdays, don't they? All day long, those are the 2 days I got trials. The rest of them got some, but those 2 days, man, they got the trials laid on thick. And you watch the believer that's able to get past that and these discouragements that Satan likes to send. And by the time they get to the house of God, what is it? It's always turned into a testimony. I've never seen it fail. Anybody ever seen that fail? Well, I finally got to church, but I tell you what, the Lord told me to stay at home. I shouldn't have been here. I ain't never heard that testimony just yet, but I've heard many times, I made it to the house of God and God met me.
Amen.
I came discouraged, but I left encouraged.
Amen.
I came sick, I left healed.
Amen. That's right.
I came lonely, I went packing a friend.
Amen.
So the rest of the week when I thought I was by myself, I realized I'm not. He is with me because he said, I'll be with you even to the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But as we see here, Paul talking about the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ is made up of the bride of Christ. They're one and the same. Each part of the body of Christ is a part of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Because as Eve was taken from Adam, not a different person, but the same person in another body, so is the bride with Christ.
Amen.
Christ came from the Father, as we understand, out of the Logos. And he was the fullness of the expression. But out of him came attributes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And a certain group of those attributes were laid aside until this day.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Woo. So those attributes can come to life. As we know, Brother Branham teaches very plainly that ever since Pentecost, the believers have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was never withheld from anybody.
Nope.
But because of the age, because of man's doctrine, because of the traditions of men, the word could only grow to so much. That's why you get a Martin Luther, a man who had the Holy Ghost, who had gifts of the Spirit working in his life, but would cuss like a sailor, would pull out his pipe and go ahead and smoke it, because that's all the word they had for that day. There was no sanctification to be preached, just justification. And then as we watch John Wesley bringing more life, as in his day he's allowed to live. Now we can live a clean life, but then they took it so far to where if you don't, if you make a mistake, guess what? You're out, buddy. You're done.
Right.
CNL. Woo. And sometimes I believe most mess churches are kind of stuck there.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, as long as I tiptoe around, keep TV out, make sure nobody sees what I do when nobody's around. You know, as long as I'm doing this certain list of rules that I got written down, I'll be saved. It has nothing to do with you and I. We're not saved because we do anything or we don't do anything. We are saved purely by faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross.
Amen.
And you say, well, churches teach that. No, they don't. They teach that Jesus, oh yeah, he died, and I just say I believe, and that's good enough. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a confession that lives. That the word that's in you comes to life.
Amen.
The life that's within me is not me no more. It's Christ that liveth in me.
Yes.
That's when you know you have accepted Calvary. Because God is able to take his Spirit. Because that's what Calvary was for. To cleanse you. To wash you. That his Spirit might indwell you.
Amen.
So we've preached before the four Gospels. They were there to protect the book of Acts, because that's what God's intention was.
Amen.
To take his children and indwell them and live with them and have perfect fellowship.
Amen.
Not just from one day, not just from one revival to the next, but for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
But if your walk is a group walk, you'll never get anything out of it. If your walk isn't just the church walk, you'll never get anything out of it. The Word of God must become individual to you.
Amen.
When he said it was finished on the cross, it has to be my life of sin. It is finished.
Amen.
The life that I once lived has been crucified on the cross with him. I no longer have to be that way. I've been changed from death unto life.
Amen.
Not just all the bride has been changed. No, I have been changed.
Amen.
From death unto life.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus died for the sins of the world. No, he died for my sins.
Amen. Amen.
To where I'm not a sinner no more. Amen. If I'm still a sinner, the blood of Christ has no power.
Amen.
What a blasphemous thing to say. But if you've one time dipped into that blood of Christ, God no longer can see you. He only sees himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, 57. And Father, we thank thee that we're living in the day to see and to watch the Word of God unfold to each one of us.
Amen.
Has the Word unfolded to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Not as the Word unfolds to the bride and God sent Malachi 4 to find. Yeah, that's great. What about you?
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Has it unfolded to you? Can you read the Word and see, I am a part of this.
Amen.
This body of Christ, that's speaking of me.
Yes.
This bride in the last day that would overcome all things, that's speaking of me.
Yes.
When Brother Branham crossed the current of time and he saw millions coming, he saw me out there.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
If he just saw everybody else, well, that won't do you no good, will it?
That's right.
If he just died for all the sins of everybody around you, that don't do you much good, does it? And we could go right through the Bible. And I'll do that here in a minute. Let me finish this quote. And to watch the Word of God unfold to each of us, each one of us. Well, there's not a shadow left for doubt to see how he does these great things. Making the sick to get well. Showing that it doesn't lay in man, but it lays in God and the individual. As God doesn't deal with churches or with denominations. He deals with individuals. We're not saved by belonging to a group. Do you understand?
Right.
That includes this message.
Right.
Just because you adhere to it and you confess that you are a believer, that means nothing if you've never experienced it yourself.
Amen.
And that's where too many churches have gone wrong. That's where too many moves have gone wrong. They've changed it. That as long as you walk with us, you'll be okay.
Yep.
There's a name for that in the Bible.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. He deals with individuals. We're not saved by belonging to a group. We're saved by our own personal faith, and we're healed the same way.
Amen.
Yes.
I could have thus saith the Lord, and I believe this has happened in my life, the same as the prophets do. Have it for a person and give it to them. But if they don't believe it,
right,
it will do them no good.
Amen.
It will do them no good. And if you say, well, that's not very fair, how can you have thus saith the Lord and then it not come to pass? Here's the word of God sitting right here. It says that every sickness is healed.
Yes.
Amen. Are you going to say that Jesus Christ lied?
Yes.
Or is every sickness really healed?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
But if you don't receive it, you don't get it.
Yes.
If it's still just a blanket thing, well, he just died for all these sicknesses, but mine, you know, it's kind of the exception. Is it or isn't it? No, I take that word upon my heart.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not trusting in my own merit as I walk up to sickness trying to take over my body. It's Satan. You are defeated.
That's right.
Christ has already died for this thing. I have accepted it. His spirit indwells me. And you cannot beat that spirit.
Amen.
It's not a second Holy Ghost. It's not a lesser one. The same spirit that indwelled Christ is now in us.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. There's no such things as these degrees of spirit. You know what we're talking about? Well, I'm just a little empty on the spirit. Well, how about you just pack the spirit?
Amen.
Well, I just don't have a lot of faith. You probably just don't have faith.
Right.
Because last I checked, faith don't lose.
Amen.
Faith ain't guessing. Faith ain't hoping. Faith knows where it stands.
Amen.
And if you can get that little kernel of faith, if you're sick this morning, that little kernel says, I am healed.
Amen.
And denounce everything else, it will come to pass.
Amen.
We could always go back and look at our father Abraham, couldn't we? Everything contrary to that promise of him having a son, he denied it.
Amen.
He knew, I will have a son. Did he have slip up? Sure did. Did he make mistakes? Sure did. But never in his heart did he think, I'm not going to have that son.
Right. Amen.
I know I will.
Yes.
Even amidst all my stupidity, God somehow is going to bring this to pass.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then he said, out of that son would come a whole nation, a whole sea of people. And as God told him to take that son up to that hill and kill him, in his heart, he knew. He's got to at least raise them up, I guess, or something. Because my son must produce a nation.
Amen.
It cannot be cut off. Woo, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And yeah, it's dark Laodicea. Yes, it's St. Eve's, but we have a promise. There will be a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I don't care how bad it gets. They cannot defeat the Word of God.
Amen.
And in their attempt to defeat the Word of God, they are walking right into it.
Yes.
Amen.
The more they try to destroy the message of the hour, the more it comes to life. The more the people go, you know what? We need to put this word to the test and see if it actually works. And guess what? It will not fail. We've sat on it too long, don't you think so? We've walked around this mountain a little too long. I think it's time to just go ahead and head northward.
Amen.
Joshua didn't bring any new word that Moses had already preached, but he fulfilled it.
Amen.
It came to manifestation. The prophet said, you've seen that third pole in a measure, but wait till you see it amongst the bride.
Amen.
Just wait. And look, that can't be. Like I just said, I'm preaching to the individual this morning. That can't be the third pole move. Oh, and probably somewhere in Africa or all these where there's these spiritual people. Those people go through the same battles you and I do.
Amen.
It must be. It will work through me.
Amen.
Best thing you could do is look in the mirror and just serve God that way. I didn't mean no mirror at home. Now I mean the mirror of God's Word.
Right.
You stare at your mirror at home, guess what? You ain't never going to do nothing for God. You're going to be too busy being defeated, too busy realizing all your faults and failures, that you'll never do one thing for God. But if you look at His words, by His stripes I am healed. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay their hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up any dead of the faith. It will not harm them. If you'll take that and say, that is speaking of me, it will work for you.
Amen.
And I ain't saying that just because I think it's a good idea. I've experienced it.
Amen.
Amen.
The littlest needs that I didn't think were all that big a deal. God would bring a student to me. He's having some kind of sickness, maybe a headache or something. You just move on my heart, put your hands on him. Okay. Do it, and guess what? The next period, they'd already be healed.
Amen.
That's not for me. That's for them to know that what I'm telling them is the truth.
Amen.
This is it.
Yes.
This is the life that you must have in this day. Because we're not living in Luther's day. We're not living in Wesley's day. We're not even living in Pentecostal's day where you can just have a few gifts. We're talking about the life itself must be back.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And not in Brother So-and-so. Not in the preacher I think super spiritual. In me,
amen,
that life lives.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Amen. I believe that, Lord. Amen.
world's falling apart. 62. I have a little something to tell the national leader of this Christian businessman. It's a fine group of people, but if they get started in the wrong way, they'll go to powder like the rest of them, become a denomination. And I want you to pray for me and pray for this man. I've got to go. I've got a vision for the Lord for him. See, and if they don't make the turn, if they go on, they're coming to an organization. And when they do, God's through with it. Amen. That's right. See, man gets together. Man can't get together unless they get their own ideas. That's the reason God takes individuals. See, God don't deal, never did deal with a denomination. No place in history that he ever did. He deals with individuals. One man, that's right. But we try to get a group of men together and say, it's this way and that way and so forth. First thing you know, great, smart, brilliant minds, these giants that the devil has sent in, come in and say, well, it should be this. I can prove it to you. No matter what you can prove, if it's contrary to the word, stay away from it.
Amen.
That's right. Carried away with every wind of doctrine. Isn't that what we opened up with? We're talking about getting the believers to know who they are. That when these winds of doctrine, look, you can't stop them from coming. They will come, those pigeons flying in the air that want to land and nest on your head, they will come. You must know where you stand, that you don't have to put up with that.
Right.
That little wind that comes by, that's just trying to shake you off the foundation of Christ.
Right. Amen.
And denounce those things.
Amen.
Just like John the Baptist, who stood there against all the religions of the world at the time. A little man that came out of the woods, never even been in civilization hardly. I don't even know how he talked to him, how he even knew how to speak, because, well, I guess maybe he was about 9, so maybe he learned it then, and he had to go out there and just commune with the Lord, because his job was too important to be out there messing with those people, denominations.
Amen.
And when he come out there, all he had was what he had. Well, I ate some bugs, I got some honey around here, and I got a sheepskin, goatskin clothes, that's all I got. But look, God told me to go, I'm going to go.
Right.
If he was too busy looking at himself instead of what the Word said about him, he probably wouldn't have done it. I mean, you would walk up right to Washington and say, thus saith the Lord, you're all going to die. You bunch of serpents. That's what he did in that day, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
He went to what was the highest headquarters in that nation at the time, went right up to Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have that woman.
Right.
Wonder why he lost his head. Put things in context a little bit, don't you think? Why do you think they killed Jesus? He was making this big old move, and they were starting a rumor that he was going to kill the Roman king and take over. Why do you think they got rid of him? I'm not going to put up with that. And why do you think they're going to try to get rid of us too? Remember those 200,000 demons? What are they sent for? To try to destroy the bride.
Right.
But right before they're able to do it. Look, prepare for things to get hard, but prepare for there to be a big God to show up.
Amen.
Every time you need it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
There's nothing to be afraid for because he lives. I have no fear.
Amen.
Yeah, if he just died and laid there, I might be afraid. I'd be like the apostles. Let's just go back and fish some more. I don't know what to do. But when he rose again, I got to look at him.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I don't got to worry about death no more. It didn't affect that man. And when he died, I was in him. When he resurrected, I was in him. I'm alive forevermore because I was in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
I wonder if I can find it real quick. Is that all right? You got a second?
Yeah.
I believe I got it on here. People worried about their sins, taking them out of the kingdom. You should be if you're not in Christ. Come on. There we go. Coming out, God of this evil age, 65. Now listen closely. Just as your natural life and traits is handed down from your natural breeding of your father, so is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundation of the world. And when the entire Word of God, incomplete, was headed up in a human body called Jesus Christ, in there, God made me pay for my sins. In Him there.
Hey. Woo! Yeah.
What are we worried about? Even when I had to make the choice to accept it, He took the choice upon Himself and said, you will die with me. Sorry about your luck, I guess. I'm not losing a one. That's the will of my Father. Their names are in my hands. I will not lose one.
Amen.
And just to make sure, He took us completely out of the picture, didn't He?
Amen.
Said, when I die, I'm going to let them all die with me. That way they're already dead and they already be resurrected. It's already case settled.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. I'm so glad He didn't trust me with His word. But He changed me first. Put His life in me that life is what he could trust the word with. Why do you think he gave his word to Abraham? Because he knew what life was in him. That's why he could give it to David. He could give it to Moses. Amen. He could give it to us.
Amen.
Now we understand that this word, he tries to get it to anybody. It's gone to all the world. We can read that scripture too where it says he didn't even just die for the elect. He said he died for the sins of the whole world. And that's why I believe a little child, if he would happen to die, I believe that the blood atones for that little child because he don't know no better. It's not because he's part of the sin. Look, we all come born in sin. He needed an atonement, but since Christ took upon himself the sins of the whole world, that child's sins are atoned because he doesn't know no better.
Amen.
But the second you know you're a sinner, it's time to find Christ.
Amen.
But if you ever had the day you recognized you were actually a sinner, that's a good sign you're the bride. I met a lot of people who think they're saved and they never figured out just yet, you're still a sinner, buddy. Yeah, you might go on Wednesday, you might go on Sunday, you might be doing this or that, but what do you really love to do?
Amen.
Do you just like to get big numbers? Do you just like to have a lot of people fellowship together? Or do you like to see Jesus Christ walk and talk and be the same as he was when he was on earth?
Amen.
That's the dividing line. That's what the message of the hour came to do. The message of the hour did not come to start another group. It came to show individuals you were there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's what separates this message from everything else that's come previous to this. Now, does it get rid of any of that? How many is justified by faith this morning?
Amen.
How many sanctified by the Spirit? How many has been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How many believes all nine spiritual gifts should be operating in every single local body? I do too. But we have to know, why could I even do this in the first place? It's because before I even got here, he said, I saw all the sons of God shouting for joy. I was back there giving God praise. So when that life came down into earth, and it began to manifest as I tried to walk like a sinner, there was something on the inside that said, you can't be like this much longer.
Amen.
There was a nature on the inside always wrestling with me. I tried to lie. I tried to steal. I just couldn't get over it. I always felt bad. As a little kid, I remember always, at home, I could have just tore that teacher up left and right. But the second I got in their presence, I couldn't do it no more. Something on the inside said, you respect them. Respect the authority put over you. All right. And sure, once in a while, I try to smart off and all this stuff, but that's when you got a daddy that don't let you do that too long. Homie's grateful for that in your life.
Amen.
Amen. God identifying himself by his characteristics. And not one time did ever a person or a group of people ever organize themselves together upon a message. Can I let that sink for a little bit? All right, let me read that again now. And not one time, this is 64, so that's after seals. I'm allowed to read these, aren't I? I believe all the message. Did not one time, and not one time did ever a person or a group of people ever organize themselves together upon a message, but what they died and went on the shelf and never raised again. There is no history. The Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Two Soul, the Perugia, the Seventh Hunters, whatever you want to say, any little group you want to put together, they will go to the shelf and they will sit there.
Amen.
Until they come back to the life of God.
Amen.
And so forth. Never raised again. When they go to grouping it, God deals with individuals. Let me read one more here. The trial, 64. God never does deal with groups, it's individuals. He cannot change. What God does the first time, he has to ever remain that same one. Here, look, God's first decision to save a man was by the blood of an innocent one. It's never changed. God never changes. We've tried to build cities for them. We've tried to build towers. We've tried to educate them. We've tried to denominate them. And we get further away all the time.
Amen.
It's only one place that man can fellowship, and that's under the blood of the innocent one. That's the only way we'll ever believe it. Only way we can get together is under the shed blood of the innocent. God never changes his way. God in no time ever did deal but with one individual. He won't save you because you're Methodist or because you're a Pentecostal or because you come to Truth Tabernacle. Is that all right?
Right.
He'll save you as an individual, not as a group. He never does do that. He saves individuals. One, just one person he deals with. And we can go right through the Bible. This never failed. This is the way God did it every time. When there was going to come a flood on the whole earth, what did God do? He found one man he knew who would believe.
Amen.
He found Noah. He said, get ready, build an ark. Here's how you do it, get ready. You need to get there and get prepared because the whole earth's going to flood over here soon. But there were 8 people saved because there was another couple sons there that realized that's not just daddy talking. That's just not my daddy talking. That was God talking. Yeah. Do you see what happened? They began to believe the message of their hour.
Right.
As long as it would just been old daddy, you know, they probably would have just said, well, he's kind of crazy like everybody else. You know, we'll do it for a little while. And then they probably would have gave up. But something they realized, the word is speaking to them now. Amen. It can't. There's no mediator besides Christ Jesus. And that mediator is just God himself anyhow. So there really is nobody between God and you. It must be you hearing the word for yourself.
Amen.
Gets in the ark. Those animals. There wasn't 5 cows saved. Just 1. And as they were walking, they were dumb beasts. Don't you wish we could just be dumb beasts sometimes and just listen to the word of God? They were strolling around going, you know what, I'm getting a little hungry. I probably should get some food. But all of a sudden they realized, I need to head this way right now. I don't got any time. I gotta go that way. And as they began to look at all the attractions coming, ooh, you see the bride now. We've got to head this way. We gotta head to glory and forget everything else. As all these distractions came, he says, no, I don't got any time. It's coming now.
Amen.
The door's gonna shut.
Amen.
I need to get in there.
Yes.
Same with the cows, same with the cheetahs, same with the lions, but every one of them made it.
Amen.
There was no fear. They knew this what's in me is leading me the right way. I will follow it.
Amen.
How about David? And oh, how we love to talk about David and him being such a wonderful king, how he got up there and just took on Goliath. But look, David had met God individually long before that.
Amen.
Back when he was a nobody. Back when he was some sheep herder that nobody would have thought nothing of, he saw a bear and a lion try to take some sheep of his. And he began to hear the voice of the Lord individually.
Amen.
Went and took out that bear and lion, didn't he? Come back with his father's sheep. And God, as he had met God there, remember, that's the only reason he even had faith for Goliath.
Right.
Yeah.
Said, I was out there herding my father's sheep, and you guys are all soldiers and all this stuff, so you're scared to death. Look, I fought a bear. I ain't afraid no man.
Uh-huh.
What's he going to do to me? I fought a lion. I took out the king of the jungle because I believe God.
Amen.
I have heard from God. And if you heard this message, you have heard from your representation in heaven. Thou cannot lose.
Amen.
Thou cannot be lost.
Amen.
No, and nothing formed against thee shall prosper.
Amen.
And David, as he took that promise on his heart, and he knew, I met God out there individually to me. And he knew that that God would never leave him. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one leading me around. And as he began to come and see the armies of Israel going, what is this? What is this? And how many times have we felt that way? We look around and go, my, they just let Satan run all over the place in this. Why do we got all these sicknesses still here? Don't we have healing for that? Why do we got this sin in the church? Don't we got the Holy Ghost to come and convict people to get that out of this place?
Amen.
But as long as a man becomes the intercessor, it's never going to work, right? As long as he thinks, well, I got to get the sin out of the church. You don't got to get no sin out of no church. The Holy Ghost will get the sin out of the church just fine.
Amen.
You preach the word, you got to twist people's arm to believe it, just let them go because they're just as bad as Cain and Balaam and everybody else. The prophet said, if you try to teach them these serpent seeds and they just want to turn around, he said, the election's off, just let it go.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do about it. If Jesus Christ can't save them, how are you and I going to do it?
That's right.
David looked Goliath right in the face. And I love it from Brother Josh Tucker gave me a testimony one time. He said he heard from the Lord and he said, I think it's 1748. He didn't know nothing about it, I guess. And there's only one time 1748 shows up in the Bible. And it's when David was going to meet Goliath. And as Goliath was making his challenge and came to fight David, the Bible says that David ran towards him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother Josh told me the Lord was showing me what spiritual warfare is supposed to be like. When the enemy starts coming, that ain't time to hook tail and run. And, oh man, poor devil. No, take him head on. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my house.
Amen.
Get out of my life. Get your condemnation and go out the door. You stop now.
Amen. Woo! Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He didn't hide and tuck tail and try to find another strategy. He ran right at him with just some stones, just a little faith that he had. But he had watched it work before. It will work again. And go back to the last time you had faith and you watched it work. Hold on to that and let it grow. Amen. If it's just a mustard seed, let it grow. It cannot be defeated.
Amen.
That predestinated seed of God must come forth.
Oh, yes.
And if it's got the life of God within it, how can you lose?
Amen.
It's It's not you fighting, it's the Lord fighting the battle through your vessel.
Sure, amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
How about Daniel, a man that served God all alone? Even to the point where he only knew a few people he had prayer meetings once in a while with. That was about it. They had the decree signed. You're done, Daniel. Remember, they set it up because he served God too well. That's all they could find. I hope one day that's all people can find with me. If I just serve God a little too well. And when it comes to the time of prayer, they knew Daniel's going to pray. Uh-huh. Do they know that about you? That when it's lunchtime and you're about to eat your food, you're going to pray first and you're not going to... Do they know those things about you? Look, that'll speak volumes. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about their little looks and stuff. You got a Father in heaven looking and seeing what you're doing with the Word. That's all you need to be worried about. We need to live, as we preached last Wednesday, in the Shekinah glory, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that we are in the presence of God. Because the second you don't think in your presence of God, you'll do anything.
Right.
That's the only reason man goes wrong, because he thinks he leaves the presence of God and he's getting away with it.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. Not the believer, though. He knows.
Amen.
The believer knows. When he makes a mistake, he knows, okay, I got to go back. Let's get back to Calvary one more time. Did you make your trip to Calvary today? I'll tell you what, I might be a pastor, I don't care. You might think I'm super spiritual, but I make a trip to Calvary every day.
Amen.
I'm never going in the presence of God on my own merit. I'm not that dumb. I know what happens when men do that. They don't last too long.
Right.
Remember when Dathan and Korah thought, oh, it's just Moses, he don't matter, let's just go up there. They didn't realize the presence of the pillar of fire was still back there. And as they began to speak against him, it didn't take long for God to say, get out of my way.
Amen.
That if these men die just some normal way, I'm a false prophet.
Right,
let a
right.
new thing happen.
Uh-huh.
Earth swallowed up. Yeah. They went down alive.
That's right.
It's not a time to fight against God. We're not going to win. It's time to just yield to Him. Why are you all doing that again to me? I already told you, when we preach the negative, if you're a believer, it's not for you.
That's right. Amen.
It's for you to know what you're not.
Right.
You know what we would have done in Noah's day? Or sorry, not Noah's day, but Moses' day. You'd have been like Joshua and Caleb. We can do this.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, there's 10 of us here. But look, if there was the whole world in one group, there would have been probably 10 of them instead of just two. There was only Israel at the time.
Right.
Two believers. But look, that wasn't the whole story either, because when they finally did get around to taking the promised land, thousands believed.
Amen.
Maybe even millions, right? People that they remember, the old denominations, ah, you're just worthless. You'll die in that wilderness, no problem. They're the ones that took the promised land.
Amen.
They're the ones that made the rapture.
Amen.
Don't worry about what people got to say. Get in fellowship with the Shekinah glory. If you hear from Him, you're going to make the rapture. What else do you want to hear?
Right. Amen.
What else does it, matter? I don't care if brother so-and-so doesn't think I'm going to. I already heard from King Jesus. He gave me the passport, didn't He? He gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave me the ticket. He gave me the token. I will be there.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's how Daniel, I believe, stood on the Word. He already heard from God. He had fellowship with God. He knew it'll be all right. He didn't do like most of us. Well, you know, the law says I can't pray now, so I guess I'll just have to work around that. Sounds like the mark of the beast to me, don't it?
Sure does.
People give me that all the time at school. Well, what about separation of church and state? Look, I got a cross on my back wall. I've got the statue of Perk Man over there. I got Brother Man in the pillar of fire. I got the cloud over here. I've got the Ten Commandments over here. I got where I got baptized from Brother Tom over there.
Amen. Amen.
God gave me the job.
Amen.
He told me first, before I got to teach math, He told me first, preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
That takes preeminence.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I've watched. And as the testimonies have come in, I've posted them on my back wall. So anytime I get anybody to come in and say, well, I don't know about this, I say, you know what? That's fine. We can argue all day. Go back there and read that and tell me. Go ask them what happened.
Amen.
You don't believe me? Go ask them what happened.
Amen.
Let the sinner preach for you sometimes, right? A little bit easier when he comes in and sees the presence of God. And remember, the Bible said, you know, if we just speak in tongues, people think we're crazy, but if let one discern the thoughts of the heart, they'll just fall down and say, God's with you.
Amen.
And let somebody that has cancer get healed, and they know that there was no way that person was going to live. You don't got to preach very hard no more. You don't got to try to twist their arm, believe anything. They go, I know God's with you.
Amen.
I know it. And guess what? They know, and I ain't trying to brag or nothing. I hope you understand. I'm talking about a life lived for God. What's supposed to happen? When people have needs, guess who they call at school? They call this guy.
Yes, sir.
They call me to pray.
Yeah.
Why not the other people that want to, that are supposed to be the Christians and all these things? Because they know the difference.
Amen.
They know that old denominational life. It's nothing different than what they do. It's just a different way of doing it.
Right.
Like we were watching, me and Dad were at the Y and had this commercial about some guy that was sick or something, right? And he wanted to watch his football game. Well, he got well and all of a sudden he was, woo, woo. Look, the devil made him well so he could worship.
That's right.
Amen. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And what do they do when they come to churches that all they want to do is just worship their little thing they want to do, their little denomination, their little movement? They go, this is the same thing I have out there in the world. There ain't no difference.
Amen.
It's just a bunch of entertainment. I'm not interested in entertaining people. I'm interested in people seeing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've had that happen in this church already. Every single person I've brought here knows there's something different about this than other churches they've gone to. They'll never deny it. Now, have they all accepted it? No. That's fine. But look, we can't convert people, but they better know God lives.
Amen.
Your life should be such a reflection of Jesus Christ that they can't deny. If there's one real Christian somewhere, it better be you.
Amen.
The individual. Right. Not this church building. You. That when they get in your presence, it's not your presence no more.
Right.
It sends a higher presence.
Amen.
To where, and anymore people are so just bound in sin, they don't even care. But anybody that's got any little bit of decency should go, no, I don't need to be cussing around this guy. When they got a dirty joke to try to tell, they know you're the last person to tell it to. You don't care. Right, brothers?
Amen.
Have it all the time, don't they? When they want to talk about that girl that's over there and think they're pretty looking, they know, I don't need to tell him that. He got no interest in that.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Jesus didn't leave his disciples, and even when he called them, remember, he went one to one all the way through, finding his disciples. He said, hey, come follow me. He just walked on. Hey, you too, come on. Let's go. Individual.
That's true, amen.
Even when Peter said, hey, can I come out in the water? The individual said, come on.
Huh?
And he did it.
Amen.
Actually, that's somebody just asked me that. I said, did Jesus really walk on water? I said, yeah, and so did Peter. Takes a Superman religion right out the door, don't it? Oh, the things that Jesus did, man can still do?
Yes.
If you'll get in the presence of God and stay there.
Amen.
Jesus was just a man like you and I. He was not a Superman that had super abilities. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And a man filled with the Holy Ghost commands nature. A man filled with the Holy Ghost can tell devils what to do.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost isn't a thing. It is God.
Amen.
And as that God indwells you, all heavens and earth will back up your word. We're a little too afraid to speak the word, I think, sometimes. We think, oh, maybe it's just hit wrong. And oh, I don't know. Remember there was a prophet one time called Samuel. And what does the Bible say about him? The Lord made sure none of his words hit the ground.
Amen.
Right.
Even Elisha, who spoke a little presumptuously, remember? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm gonna curse them children over there. Guess what? God made sure his word didn't hit the ground. And he still cursed the children. Now, should he have done that? Of course not. But God still honored his word. Same with Moses. He says, you bunch of rebels, much eye-fest water for you, much we, us and Aaron. And he smote the rock, nothing happened. He smote it again. Look, God vindicated his word because of who he was.
Right.
Even in his mistake.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Woo, glory to God.
Yes, sir.
But if God's still out there, and he's still just a part of this church, and he's not your God, he's not your Savior, he's not your individual husband, you'll be afraid to do those things.
Amen.
Do you understand? Because you don't have a close enough connection with them. It goes the same when you just think about when you're in people with the world. If you don't know them very well, you only can have a very limited amount of fellowship. But if you really trust that person, if you're really family like you ought to be, and that's the way churches are supposed to be. We should be so close that these little things, these little feelings and stuff, that just stays out the door. We don't worry about that.
Amen.
We're just clean. We just love one another. That's the way the family of God was supposed to be. And that should be our relationship with our Father. So we're not afraid anymore. Even if I make a mistake, yeah, he'll correct me, but he ain't going to kill me.
Right, amen. Yes, Jesus.
That wouldn't be very much of a father, would it? Jesus, remember even when he did have his one disciple, he had raised from the dead, and there was one guy he didn't show up to just to see if he'd just believe it. Sure enough, he couldn't. Old Doubting Thomas over there, wasn't he? Brother, that name Thomas today, I tell you what. Just all over the place. And he was sitting there going, man, until I feel him, I don't believe this. He's dead. I don't know what to say about it. Guess what? Jesus didn't even let him be there. Even in his own little pity party, guess what? He still showed up because he will not lose a one.
Amen.
You say, well, Lord, I don't know if I'm really saved. You know, maybe if I speak in tongues, I'll know. And then guess what? You'll speak in tongues. And if you're not careful, you'll let the devil put you on the roller coaster and you'll just keep having one more thing you need to see. And you need to see this. How about you just take what the word said?
Amen.
that if you've truly been filled with the Spirit of God, that's all the evidence you need.
Amen.
Just let that life live. There's step one and only step one. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. It will seal you till the day of redemption.
Amen.
Let me finish with one story here this morning. Enjoying the Word.
Amen.
Are you receiving the Word? I didn't say you. I meant you. You. Even you, Mia.
Amen.
We just preach on that for a second. You remember Jeremiah the prophet when the Lord called him?
Yes.
He said, but I'm but a child.
Amen.
He said, I don't care. Get up. Get out there and preach against them.
Uh-huh.
Look, he didn't preach for them either. He had to go preach against them to our Jesus, or to what? Well, it was the Lord. He said, don't even be worried about their faces.
Right.
I'll be with you.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Imagine having a message that has about no positive to it. It's tough. Well, welcome to Christianity in this day, isn't it? Because the second you get out of the Word, you have to tell people there's no positives to any of this. So, well, can I do this and can you do that? Well, yeah, but there's no positives to it. It won't last.
Right.
You will perish.
Amen.
Noah's message is pretty pessimistic, wasn't it? Look, we're all dead unless you get in there.
Yeah. One way. Amen.
This is it.
That's right.
This is it. There's the one blame. God built this through me. I didn't come up with this idea. Who would have thought taking some wood and putting some slime on it would have survived the flood? And here's this titanium-covered boat over here, and it ain't going to make it.
Right.
It's the same in the spiritual. Here's this big church been established for so many years. Oh, they just have everything just right the way it needs to be. It won't last the flood. That old mission on the corner, right? That old little group of people that nobody thinks anything of, but the power of God shows up. That's the group that'll make it. Individuals that have recognized their position in the body and have come together, not through denomination, but through the life of God that draws them to one another. That the Spirit of God within you and the Spirit in me, it yields together. And it becomes vulcanized to where you couldn't separate it.
Amen.
That was a story one time, and I am trying to close. It's in 1 Kings 22, if you want to read that later on. 1 Kings 22. The king of Israel, old backslidden Israel, wanted to go get a victory without the word of God backing them up. And they had 400 prophets saying, go, go. They didn't have just some little formal meeting either. They had a good Pentecostal jubilee, didn't they?
Huh?
Ooh, they were really getting in the Spirit. Now, I don't believe it was some false spirit. I believe the Holy Ghost was there. They were just off the Word, anointed ones at the end time. You know, it sound that way? And what was his name? Hananiah, I believe. Took on a yoke on his shoulders, and he had big horns. He said, with these horns, you're going to drive them out. Thus saith the Lord. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? But if you check the Word before that, Elisha done cursed the whole thing. Said, you're not going to be there. Where you killed, what was that? Whose field did he steal? Oh, y'all got to Naaman. Is it Naaman? Naaman is the one healed of this leprosy, isn't it? I don't know. Naboth. I think it's Naboth. Anyways, the man he stole the field from, he said, you'll die for doing that. Because he got a man killed, or through his wife, but you know what? He was just as guilty as anybody else. He let it happen anyways. Said, you'll die there. And there was only one man down sitting in his house by himself who had the word of the Lord. He knew Micaiah. And he knew what he saw didn't contradict that. He knew what he saw would fulfill that.
Amen.
And when they came down, you know, Jehoshaphat, praise God, there was at least one believer over there somewhere who, when he heard this good meeting, you know, he probably participated. He probably thought, oh, that's pretty good. But hey, do you got one more round? Because I'm just not easy about this. There's just something a little off somewhere. How many of you have been there before? You were in a service, my heart just felt so good. But for some reason, there was something on the inside. There's something wrong. What is it? You know what that is? It's God's life within you. God's life within you is perfect.
Amen.
If it finds an error, it won't accept any of it. It must be 100% the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
And as Jehoshaphat sat there, the king of Judah, he says, do you have one more? And they have, king of Israel said, yeah. But I hate that preacher. I'll tell you what, he's just so pessimistic all the time. He's always got to preach that against me. He said, oh, don't say that. You know, he's probably just, you know, Jehoshaphat just trying to calm down a little bit. Maybe he's a little off his rocker. That's okay. Well, let's just bring him anyhow. So Micaiah, they go down there to get him. Remember, they sent a messenger down there. He said, look, Micaiah. All 400 preach the same thing. Every church in this city preaches this. Why don't you just agree? Why don't you just let go of that serpent seed a little bit and just baptism? You know, we can kind of do it two different ways. That's okay. And Jesus Christ really being the same? I mean, he kind of changes a little bit, don't you think? And I'm sure that's what the conversation sounded like to my guy.
Yes, sir.
And he said, look, whatever the Lord tells me to say, that's what I'm going to say. Because I don't care. Because he had met God individually.
Amen.
He didn't need no denomination. He didn't need no group. He knew where he stood because God had showed it to him. And he said, whatever the Lord shows me, that's what I'll say and nothing else. You still want me to come? I said, well, come on. They told me. So he got up there. Remember how he started? He said, Micaiah, do you think we should go up to Ramoth Gilead? He said, go up and prosper. And Ahab said, haven't I told you you're such a wonderful man? As long as you preach just what people want to hear, woo, you're just you're the one that they want. I even had a group at school. You know, we went little Bible studies and things. I tried to help out, and I still attend every once in a while now. But they let me teach for a while, and I tried for a year to be cautious and patient with it. But eventually, you know what? I can't take Trinity no more.
Right.
I can't take this baptism formality that's not going to do anything for anybody. I can't take this religion that's not packing power any longer.
Amen.
I will not be part of a lie.
Right.
And as they asked me, I remember I preached on the mark of the beast right out of Revelations. Didn't pull no punches about it. I said, look, that Catholic Church, what started this, every denomination is part of this, and you will find yourself in the lake of fire.
Amen.
I wasn't too bad until all of a sudden, you know, oh, we got to make sure we don't offend the Catholics. We got to make sure we don't offend the Presbyterians, you know, and all the way down and down. And I want to go, what about the Muslims? Do you care about them too? You know, how far are you going to take this? We got to have a totally inoffensive gospel. And there's the mark of the beast right there when you hear that.
Right.
Something that'll take in offense instead of the Word of God.
Right.
And it was okay for a little while there. And then I remember I kept feeling, they asked me to do it again. I knew what he wanted me to preach, and it was so hard for me to do it. Because I wasn't even really preaching at the time. I was doing a Bible study, and I had to go in the serpent seat. I just couldn't let it go. I don't know why I do, well, now I do. It was the Lord. He wouldn't let me compromise about it.
Amen. That's right.
And it's so hard for me a lot of times because even this group of people, in particular these kids, they just had a Bible study. I think I told you all about that. I might have here about how they want to make it a metaphor or a myth or is it literal? And I believe that the story is literal. I just don't believe they see what the things really are.
Right.
I don't believe there was a tree of life that just stood around and, you know, we could have just plucked off a good old apple off there and, hey, we're going to live forever. I believe there was a man there.
Right.
Amen.
It was called the tree of life. Who was the bread of life, that unless you were a part of him, you would not have eternal life.
Amen.
And I believe there was another man who had a lot of good sayings. He knew a lot of that word, but there was a little bit of iniquity in there.
Yes.
He was walking around the garden too. And he found a creature he could get into called the serpent.
Amen.
And convince him to partake in the first sin.
Sure.
And they went through, and like I said, we went through that Bible study together, and sure enough, all of it was fine. They believed that too. Even when I got into being adultery, or not even adultery, but just the act itself. But the second you threw the serpent in there, that the serpent's the first one that caused this, and that Cain's the son of the serpent, not Adam, cut it off. Why? Because then they begin to identify who they are.
Right.
Serpent seed will never acknowledge that they're serpent seed. It doesn't happen. They will fight to the last breath.
Amen.
To kill the true influence of the true bride. To vindicate themselves. And how do you find which one's the bride, which one's not? The bride will say, okay, that's fine. You can believe what you want to, but I have to go this way. God's got a lot of men killed. Got Abel killed, didn't it?
Yes.
I'm sure if he just would have said, you know what, I'll just give up on it. Don't worry about it. You know, instead, I bet their conversation was, look, Cain, that's what God said. We have to do it this way. You know, God already revealed it to me. He showed me the word. We have to give blood. You came from the serpent, but look, there's a blood atonement if you'll just take it.
Right.
He couldn't do it. Killed him for it.
Yeah. Amen.
Balaam wanted to kill all of Israel. He made an approach to God, remember? He got into fellowship with God, but down in his heart, there was something wrong.
Right.
And even when he couldn't get God to curse him, you know what he did? He went back and went around the back door and got him to fellowship with some Moabites and got a little backslid, and then thousands of them died.
Sure.
But Balaam's end, Cain's end, all of their end, they had a choice. They'd come back and choose different.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you can make the choice now?
Amen.
Yes.
Before it was too late.
Amen.
Because one day it's over.
Right.
You ever thought about that long enough? One of these days,
it's over.
Amen.
You will either be over here or over here.
Right.
I'm glad to know I've got a token.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I don't have to guess no more. We're not here to wonder for say, we're here to know.
Yeah.
I am the elect of God.
Yeah.
I am God's dwelling place. And God doesn't dwell something unholy. He only dwells in something holy. As long as you're the one holy, you might be in trouble. But if you know your holiness comes from above, and that the life that He had, He put in you, and that's why you're holy, you'll be able to serve God without fear,
Amen.
Without reserve, believing that all things are possible.
Amen.
Let's stand together this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Have you heard from God this morning? Why don't you go ahead and talk it over with Him a little bit? The Lord won't let this go, I don't think, until we really believe that He wants an intimate, personal relationship with every single one of us. He doesn't want you to wait on somebody else to do something. He's waiting on you just to show your love for Him. Do you have a need this morning? Would you raise that to the Lord? It can be in body, it can be in soul, it can be in spirit. It can be for somebody else. If you have a need, talk it over with Him. He's the one that'll come around and tell you that you can have it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for being such a wonderful God, for being so personal to us, Lord. That You're not impersonal. You're not off, way off in the distance somewhere, but You're even so close. You're right in our mouth, Lord. As we speak the word, You inhabit that, Father. We're grateful to know that You're the same God today. The man that walked on the shores of Galilee and called Peter by name, that called Paul by name. Lord, You've called us by name. Lord, and we're here to say, yes, Lord, we'll follow You. Lord, I pray for the people tonight, this afternoon, Lord, that if there's anything that would come against this word, that they wouldn't accept that, Lord, but that they would hold to You, for You are the word, Father. And that they would cast away every doubt that the devil would try to bring them. If condemnation comes, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would raise up faith to know that they've been found in the blood of Christ. Lord, we pray for the needs of the people. Lord, I don't know every one of them, but I know that You do. And I know You're a rewarder of those that diligently seek You, Lord. And we're giving our hearts to You just afresh again this morning.
Yes.
See, Lord, we just want to love You with everything we have. Thank You for talking to us one-on-one, Lord. And I pray that each person would just be equipped, Lord, by the Spirit of God. That we would all come into the unity of the faith, that each one of us have a part in this body. That we would support one another, that we pray for one another, that we believe for one another. Knowing that we all have a connection with You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy. Be with each one this morning. Just lead and guide them into all truth, Lord, and be vindicated in every life to prove that You're still alive today. We thank You, Lord, for this time to be in Your house. Commit the word into Your hands, Lord. Do as You please. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we do 145? It's all right. So glad I'm Yours. 145, if you don't know it, so glad I'm Yours, Lord. Are you happy to be the Lord's this morning? Amen. Let's sing that together.
So glad I'm Yours, Lord. So glad I'm Yours. So glad Your mercy has followed me. So
so
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Do you be like Jesus?